Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back Monday, and of course, Tom Brady will be on this show coming up on Monday. But right now, it is my pleasure to have our next guest back with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven is eating some, what are you eating? We got food.
You know what? I wish I was eating what Tom Brady would eat, because that would be some ozone-fueled water. He would probably be having some sort of paleo situation.
Yeah.
Because, look, we all love Tom Brady. Let's just be honest. I just want to know what his regimen is.
Well,
because he's killing the game. Yeah. He's ageless, and yeah. I celebrate him. I'm not jealous, and I just want to know what's going on.
Well, I mean, I saw recently, though, that you tweeted that the GOAT was Walter Payton. And, I mean, there's only one GOAT.
No, there isn't one GOAT. There's many GOATs. Tom is one of them, and Walter Payton is another. You know, Brian Urlacher as a linebacker is another. Mm-hmm. Julian Edelman, another undersized white boy. Oh. He's half a Jew. I'm a full Jew. We're one and a half
it's your
Jews.
People.
It's coming Tuesday nights. One and a half Jews. It's gonna be me and Julian Edelman. You know.
So yeah, I noticed you helped yourself to our. We have a cafeteria.
Oh
here
my God, you're outing me. Yes, I went to your cafeteria. Yes, I'm eating your food.
Well, we have like a turkey, some kind of a turkey sandwich.
Oh my God, this is horrifying.
A delight and some smart food, but
yeah.
Listen, last time you were here.
Yeah.
You showed up out of the blue at the Greg Hill Foundation Seaport Strong event at Del Frisco's, and I didn't really get a chance to thank you for that. So I wanted to thank you for coming to that event.
It's the least I could do, man. It was my honor. I went right from there to jumping up on stage at Laugh Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And now I'm back here to be at the Wilbur Theater.
Saturday, awesome. Right?
Saturday at the Wilbur Theater at 9:30. Yeah. All the kids can come out and it's my honor to make them laugh for an hour of solid jam packed stand up, impersonations, stories from the road, stories from Entourage.
Everything.
Last time I was performing, our boy Julian Edelman actually showed up.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
yes,
was an honor.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. And
to make that gentleman, that stud, laugh.
Yeah, I mean.
What a stud. And, are you kidding me?
Undeniable.
Curtis wanted to ask you about those guys on Entourage, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So Brady, Gronk,
yes,
and Edelman, all were on the phenomenal show, Entourage in the movie.
Yes.
Which of them needed the most takes to get their spot ready for air?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. First of all, I looked up at one point, and this is no joke. Gronk was serving soup to the extras, and I was
is that code?
You know, that's not code, but that'd be an amazing code. That would be amazing.
That'd be the best code,
bro. You're gonna serve some Gronk to the extras tonight? Yeah, brother. The extras are gonna get Gronk.
Like, Gronk's what running is out that? Of Gronk.
No, he just
it's like a broth. It's
I mean,
like
it like is. Gronk. It's a frothy situation. No, Gronk was. I mean, he's just such. He's what the Jews call a mensch, which means a good person. He was literally ladling out soup. I was like, is he 6'7", 6'9", whatever he is. The apron didn't fit him, and he's just doing and you know, Brady is a guy who's very close with Wahlberg, obviously, and he's shown up for us multiple times to do cameos. So, you know, and you get like no money. That guy is the real deal. And Edelman is too big for all of us now.
Yeah, he
not
is.
Not literally,
is.
Just figuratively.
No, he is. He big leagues everybody.
No, look, Edelman's one of those guys who he's a constant source of inspiration to all of us. Because, I mean, people forget he came into the league as a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they drafted him and they just knew that he was just a hardworking guy that gets in there and he's just a grinder. And now, you know, here he is, the MVP of the Super Bowl, just running routes and crushing people. And he's my size. So, you know, don't laugh at me.
All you Hollywood guys, when
are
we
the
meet
same
you,
size,
you're
right.
Tiny.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Cruise, the guy. And you know what? I
wouldn't say, by the way, none of us are tiny.
Well,
we're just average-sized human beings.
You're not like Gronk size.
No. Yeah. Come on.
Listen, you're a huge football fan. What is the I think the rest of the country feels differently than we do. what is the prevailing opinion on Tom Brady? Do you think he's gone from here after this year?
I think a guy, look, I think what he's, they'll look back on him as the guy that, that kind of, you know, broke through in terms of, people aren't even talking about his age anymore. You know, when you're approaching 40, they're like, ah, you know what? Greatness grows old in a day. And it's like, no, it doesn't. And I think, listen, you know, I can't imagine walking away. He's in the prime of his life. How can, if he's still operating on the highest level, which he is, why would you walk away?
Yeah.
I think he'll probably play till he's 45 and he'll leave on his terms. And, but, you know, no one's done it like him. I mean, he's got a great regimen. Obviously, whatever he's doing works. His offensive line wants to kill for him because he's a decent human being and he works really hard. I mean, there's just all these variables that none of us know about. You know what I mean? To work in that system, you have to be all in. So, you know, he'll just keep going and he'll go out on his terms. But, no, he'll probably, what, one man talking about it, he'll probably go till mid-40s.
Who's the Hollywood version of him? De Niro?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Who's the Hollywood version
of? I'm always surprised by how old De Niro is.
Right.
When you find out how old De Niro is. I mean Robert Redford has stopped. I think he did his last film.
Eastwood stopped.
Which I think he did his last film after he did that one where he was by himself on the boat.
Right.
And that was probably should have been not his last film. The previous one should have been.
Right. Last one.
I think you know, it could be anyone. Like Denzel's in his 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And you would never think that.
Right, yeah.
So I think he is like Brady in that way that he's ageless and he's still crushing a game and on top and doing his thing.
By the way, speaking of movies, BuzzFeed just put Rush Hour 2 on the list of sequels that are better than originals.
And I played the Versace salesman in that movie. And I talk about that on stage, by the way, at the Wilbur Saturday Night. Nice transition. No, Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan, myself. And I did 40 movies before Entourage. People don't even know that.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And that's, if there's any success I've ever had, it's because I'm totally delusional. And I would take these tiny roles and make a meal out of them. And that was one of them where my line was, "May I help you?" And that was it. And then I come prepared, and I just keep talking. And, you know, Jackie Chan was like, "There are many men chasing us." And I just said, "As well there should be." And then they just kind of, no one yells cut. No, so I look at Chris Tucker, and I go, "So you've got the mochaccino skin. Let's put a dead animal on you. Buttercream, croc skin. What's below the waist? Mystery meat. Let's go in." And he goes, "Hey, sweetness." And I was like, "Oh, little Kim." You know, and then I look at Jackie Chan, and he speaks Mandarin. And my only line was, "May I help you?" And he was totally stumped. And I talk about it. Then Mike Tyson is on the set. They couldn't throw him up. It was just madness. That's the type of hilarity you're going to see at the Wilbur Theater. Saturday night.
It must have been last week that we were talking about the fact that they're remaking Home Alone. Is that like the most ridiculous? Do you think, maybe you disagree, but do we need all of these remakes when it comes to classic Hollywood films?
Listen, if they feel like they have something to offer, then why not do it? You know, why not? I think people right now, it's so interesting. Like, you know, you guys are lucky because people are going back to radio. They're going back to podcasts because I think
technology. Not this show specifically.
Not this.
Them,
no, no
general.
One's listening to this. There are 11 people listening to this show.
Yes.
And 9 of them are my mother.
Yes. But Hollywood needs to get people to come back. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. What I'm saying is I think that, like, people are looking for comfort food, and I think that's why you see Friends, like, you know, trending on Netflix and stuff like that. So Home Alone, I guess they want to see it. I mean, Macaulay Culkin is a professional poker player now, and he hasn't acted in a few years, I believe, so he might have some rust on him, and that's a variable. Do you know what I mean?
That,
I think it's
that
a
would
variable.
Work, actually.
So, Jeremy, speaking of coming back, my favorite TV show of all time is The Office.
Okay.
And I was researching for this interview.
Yes.
And I saw that you turned down Michael Scott's role.
No, well let me clarify this for a second. They came to me and I did my research and I watched The British Office. And I just have to say Ricky Gervais crushed it so hard. I looked at that. I'm delusional and cocky. I just looked at that and went, "There's no way I can do that better." There's no way.
Really?
Anything I would be doing is a karaoke version of that, because you have to understand, Ricky Gervais writes for himself. Mm-hmm. So he wrote this beautifully cocky, nerdy, unaware, delusional character that was perfect for him. Anything that we would do or I would do or any, you know, is not going to beat that. And so I didn't know, I wouldn't know how to approach it. So when they said, would you, you know, possibly be interested? That doesn't mean that they necessarily wanted me for the role, but they were kind of like looking into it. You know, would you want to possibly do this?
But Steve Carell.
Carell crushed it. Oh, yeah. And he's gone on to have an insanely prolific and brilliant career. But what Ricky Gervais, for those of you who haven't seen The British Office, take a look at what he was doing. It looks like a documentary, a brilliant, funny, awkward documentary.
Danielle's watched it 47 times.
Both versions. Both versions.
Are you like
it's
that with
incredible.
Any show? Like, do you go back and binge anything? Like, I want to go back and...
Basically Entourage. I sit alone in my boxers and just watch myself. No, I'm just kidding. No, there are shows like Breaking Bad.
What I was going to say. Yeah. I want to go back. I want to binge that again. I mean...
Breaking Bad was genius.
Isn't it genius?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. It's, you know what's so interesting right now is there's more content than ever.
Yeah.
But... you know, what are people talking about? There's not a lot of shows everyone's going, oh my God, have you seen, you know, right now?
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not unanimous. And, yeah. You know, since, you know, Game of Thrones have gone off the air, you know, what is everyone watching? I think we need that kind of next new show.
Jeremy Piven is our guest. You always come in and do the show, which I thank you very much for.
Thank you for having me.
He's at the Wilbur on Saturday.
Speaking of roles, now, I feel like people always associate certain roles with actors and actresses based on where they came in on their career and became fans and whatnot. So have you found in your career that people have trouble dissociating you from roles? Like, for instance, Ari, your relationship, you know, with Lloyd. You know, do people I don't like Jeremy Piven because he was so mean to Rex Lee. Or do people generally understand that you're not the character that you play
as a real person? They don't understand. They have no clue. I have people coming up to me going, bro, I'm a douchebag because of you. I'm sorry. I think you're killing the game on your own, brother. I don't know if you need me. No, all the time. While I'm doing my stand-up, they're yelling Lloyd. No, listen, the great news is I have a connection with people, and I made people laugh, and that means the world to me. But, yeah, I think when you play a character authentically, they associate you with that character, and it's fun, and that's my job to do that. But, you know, I'm starting a movie. I'm doing stand-up nonstop these days, but I'll be doing a movie in January. And it's my job every single role to figure out how do I fool them into thinking I'm this guy, you know, so that they can typecast me as I'm going to be playing a Chicago mobster next, you know. So that's the guy that, you know, and I'm from Chicago. And so that's what you have to keep doing, you know, to keep mixing it up and kind of that's our job. But yeah, I have people coming up saying the craziest things, and I'll talk about this. I can't say it on the radio.
Yeah.
So you have to come to the Wilbur Saturday night. But yeah, like, you know, the things that they want me to yell into their phones.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Tell my wife she's a rusty blah, blah, blah. I can't say it right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, sir, I can't tell your wife. I can't scream into your phone.
Right.
Because just imagine if you were just, you know, just recording it for TMZ. And
right, playing it out of context. Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I haven't seen it yet. I've been on the road. How is it?
I think Ken really liked it.
He loved it, yeah.
Awesome. Ken liked. I mean, there's been a lot of complaining about Bruce Lee's portrayal and whether it's racist or not.
I have no idea. I'm a huge fan of Bruce Lee. I love him. What a genius. So I don't know. I'll take a look at it and come back and talk.
I can't speak
on things I don't know.
Who were you? When it comes to acting? Who were your idols, like, acting wise growing up?
Well, I think it's like, you know, like anyone else. I was watching Marlon Brando going, what is that? That's fascinating. So he was a guy. And then there are guys right now like Idris Elba. To me, there's a show that he does called Luther. If you haven't seen it, it's just on the BBC, and you can kind of find it anywhere. And he's just kind of crushing the game, and he's amazing. But yeah,
You work with somebody, I think you work with somebody who I think is great and underrated a little bit, which is Chris Cooper.
I didn't work with Chris Cooper, but he is a genius. I'd love to work with. God, did I work with Chris Cooper? Yes, of course I did.
Yes.
In the kingdom, sorry. In the kingdom. Yes, I work with him. Oh, my God. Who am I? What time is it? You have to understand, I did three shows last night in New York.
Yeah, no.
Got on a plane. I haven't slept. I look probably as beaten up as any human being can.
I mean, you look either high or extremely intoxicated. I don't know.
Thank you so much. That's amazing. I love when people come up to you on the street and they go, bro, you look really tired. I'm like, oh, thank
you're
you.
Like, thanks. I really appreciate that.
I always flip it on them. I go, oh, my God, really? Thank you so much. And then they get freaked out. Yeah. Like, wait, did I just compliment
him? Yeah.
So kind of you, bro.
Danielle was talking the other day about, I know, and I think you tweeted about it yesterday. Danielle was talking about the Amazon fires.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're raging.
And I know you're concerned about the climate, as many should be.
Yeah.
Do you tweet about that because that's on your mind?
I did. That's my last tweet. Yeah, I mean, you know, climate change is, I mean, you can't deny it. And there's a lot of great, actually, Leo made a great documentary about it that's, listen, right now we're living in a time where you can do articles about it or you guys can talk about it and it sounds didactic or, you know, it's up to us to make it creative. And that's why Leo's doing some amazing things where you put it into a documentary and you make it interesting and accessible and so we can find out information that way. But it is real, and you know if we're worried about the generations to come, we got to start. You know,
the Boston Globe says we should ban all plastic bags here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That would be amazing. That would be incredible because that's one thing that is a huge, huge problem. And you can make fun of it, and comics do. You know, you walk around with a hemp bag, and you know what are you going to wear? The shiki, and we're living in times where weed is legal, but you can't have a straw.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
What am I going to do? Suck it out of a turtle? You know what I mean, bro? You just killed 11 turtles. Just come on, bring it down a bit. You know what I mean? So no, but I mean it's funny, but at the same time we can do our thing. And you know what's interesting about life is like. Starting is the hardest part, but if you started like, you know, with, you know, having access to your own different types of bags and all that kind of stuff, you would get in the hang of it because it's just like we all are comfortable with it. Give me that plastic bag, but it really is ruining the environment.
And you can say that because you're probably not flying private all over the place. Sometimes some of these guys who are flying private all over the place, it's a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. But, you know, I understand how fun it would be just to fly everywhere private. You know what I mean? I mean, not that I don't like TSA just putting their entire arm up me.
Right.
You know, and using me as a hand puppet. I'm like, sir, I think you're inside of me right now. I don't, you know, bro, you got anything coming out? Yeah, it's your arm out of my ass.
It's got to be the worst. By the way, if you're Jeremy Piven... And like you get seated next to a fan on a plane.
Oh God, yeah. Nightmare!
It has to be nightmare. An absolute torture.
No, look at me. I don't even look like myself. This is what I look like rolling around. Look at me. I look like the Spanish Jeremy Piven.
Yeah,
take a picture of me and tweet it out.
You can't tell
it's me.
I'm gonna I'm gonna take a picture.
There's
Hold
no
on.
Way.
Look right here. I'm gonna take a picture and then I'm gonna put it right on my Instagram.
There you go.
Right. You can carry off the fedora though. Is that a fedora?
You know, it's so funny. I love it. The way you just said that is so perfect because in any other country. It's like it's a hat, you know.
Yeah.
I just you know, I didn't take a shower. I threw a hat on. Yeah. But a lot of people are like, bro, what is that? Is that a fedora, bro? Ah, don't be a douchebag, bro.
And you can carry off the jewelry too. Like, I mean,
I got some man jewelry on right now.
Yeah,
a little M. Cohen. I've got a
bringing it back.
You know, God, you're like CSI. You're like deconstructing everything on me, everything I'm eating.
Yeah.
You don't play around, dude.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, but you also want to take your shots. I kind of like it. It's kind of like tough love.
No, it's not.
Like, listen, shape up.
It's not at all.
Okay.
And then I was reading about a film, American Night.
Yes.
Is that
with Emile Hirsch, who was actually in your movie with Brad Pitt that you just saw?
Yes.
He's Emile's incredible. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, Paz Vega. Finished that in Bulgaria. And then I'm going to be starting this other one in January. And literally all I've been doing every night is doing stand-up because I figured out that the only way to get better is to just grind and just crush it. and just get after it. Otherwise, it'll take you 20 years. And let's be honest.
Well, you did like 250 shows last year.
I did 250 shows last year. Yeah, so I'm probably 400 shows into this game.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, on paper, that's, you know, if you do 400 hours, you know, and people are like, well, you've only been doing stand-up for a couple of years, man. You're a baby. But it's like, well, you know, I don't know. I've been on stage since I was 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started Second City with Chris Farley 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done 70 movies, you know, with guys like Will Ferrell and whatnot. So I got a little background in comedy, and I think I have something to contribute a bit. So you'll see at the, you know, it's 9:30 at the Wilbur Theater.
Saturday night, Jeremy Piven, Wilbur Theater. Call it now. Pats, Bears, Super Bowl.
Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be incredible. That would be really incredible. You know, just to see Khalil Mack.
We owe you one. I mean, you got us once.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
We did. We did in 85.
Because of the fridge. That was because of the fridge.
In 85.
Yeah, that's because of the fridge.
But I don't know. I mean, like, Khalil Mack is one of those guys that I feel like might be able to keep up with Julian Edelman. You know, there's just certain little variables, like, that are going to be going on there. I would love to see that Super Bowl. Let's will it to happen. If it happens, we're going to go together.
Private?
Let's do it.
No plastic straws.
No plastic straws.
No plastic bags.
No, we're going to be in matching hemp onesies.
All hemp.
Hemp onesies.
Hemp jerseys.
Yeah. Man jewelry.
Yep.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Let's do it, man.
All right,
bring it back.
Thank you guys.
Hey,
thanks
for coming in this morning. You're awesome.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you guys.
There you go.
And L'chaim.
We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.